Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today to Edge God In. Our mission here is to champion your human potential in Christ, pulling from adult learning methodologies, a little neuro-linguistic programming, a little neuroscience, as well as the methodologies to help you step out of the ways of the world, including the shiny objects, and resurrect your identity in Christ. We pull from a lot of different learning theories and methods to help you to be able to take the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, make the complex simple, applicable, and sustainable. Now, at times, we'll pull in stress management techniques as well, because we know that when the body is stressed, you have only three responses available to you. And that is to fight, to run, or to freeze. When you take that about 6 or 7 inch journey from the basement of your mind, where you can only fight, flight, or freeze, back up to lights on or the frontal cortex of your brain, then you're able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So we take a whole person approach here at Edge God In to be able to help champion your human potential in Christ, through Christ, and with Christ. Today's topic is entitled, What Does Jesus Say? Jesus says a lot. Do you know what he says? Do you have a phrase, perhaps, that you use when you feel that you're sinking in life? Perhaps you're coming to this podcast and you're frustrated. Perhaps things have not turned out the way you want them to. This is coming off a very hot week of emotions with the election. And so perhaps you're coming with lots of mixed emotions. Maybe it's uncertainty. Perhaps it's fear, anxiety, all of which fuel stress in the body. Now, it's important to address stress where it manifests. You've often heard me say in other podcasts that the definition of stress is the power you give to outside circumstances to define what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. Now, in and of ourselves, cool thing is, we know we can't handle that much. I don't know about you, but I have a pretty short fuse when it comes to certain things in life. And God continually presses upon my heart, are you done yet? It's not about you. Allow my strength to come through your weaknesses. As Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. He was given a thorn in his flesh. I don't know what it was. Some people speculate perhaps it was something to do with his eyesight. Other people have different perspectives on that. Either way, he was tormented by a thorn. So what is your thorn today? What is tormenting you today? What is robbing you of your peace? I'm reading again C.S. Lewis's amazing book called Screwtape Letters. And basically, it's a conversation between Screwtape, Uncle Screwtape, and Wormwood. Those are the two characters in these letters. And they work for Satan. So they're his little serpents, his minions that are working out in the world. And it refers to the people as their patients. That they're working on to try to get them to step away from God, to give up on God, to think there is no God, and to win them over to Satan and to Satan's ways. And there's so much profound wisdom that C.S. Lewis has in this little book called Screwtape Letters. If you haven't read it, I highly encourage you to put that on your reading list. One thought in particular stood out to me that is made in the book, and that is when Uncle Screwtape, the devil's angel, so to speak, for darkness, was writing to his nephew, Wormwood, and he said, hey, this is how you get your patient to step away from God. You get them to identify with their emotions so much so that they don't have time for faith. That's kind of my interpretation of what I read. That your emotions become so strong that they block your ability from hearing the voice of God. So Uncle Screwtape was telling his his little nephew, his evil nephew, hey, if you want to really get into people's minds and get them to forget about God, have them identify with their emotions. As much as you can get them emotionally worked up, the more advantage you have to overtake them in life. So with that thought, do you recognize yourself there? Perhaps there's some emotions that have been hijacking your ability to maintain that sense of inner peace. That's our weapon against the dark side, to maintain peace and calm in Christ, no matter what is happening outside of you. So what better place to go than to the Holy Scriptures and to really reflect on what does Jesus say? What did he say that is recorded in the Holy Scriptures that we can apply today to be able to calm our stressful minds and hearts? Now, because stress manifests physically speaking, we must address it where it manifests, first and foremost in our body. So if you're coming to this podcast today and you feel tension in your body, do a couple of deep breaths and imagine with every exhale that you are exhaling the tension or the negative emotion from your body. Use the gift of your imagination through the Holy Spirit to imagine exhaling anxiety, exhaling fear, exhaling worry, doubt, and then inhaling the Holy Spirit, God's peace, God's assurance that he's got your back, that you are safe. This is spiritual breathing. So you exhale the undesirable emotion. You inhale the presence of God. You can even think about a verse. I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. John 10:10. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Think of your favorite verse as you inhale the truth of that verse and exhale that negative emotion so that you can calm your body, so that your spirit can be attentive to the Holy Scriptures. Another technique that you can use in the midst of anxiety and stress is called the more technique. And I've mentioned this before in other podcasts. It's a neurolinguistic programming technique. You're making thousands of associations. Even as I speak, you're taking the information that I'm speaking to you, you're linking it to other past learnings and knowledge. You can actually intentionally make a positive association and link it to something negative you're feeling. And the way that the brain works is when you link a negative thought to a positive thought, guess what? God wired us so the positive thought ends up winning out. This is how it looks. Let's say whatever your emotion is, your strong emotion from this week, tuning into that one emotion, what would that be for you? What is your biggest negative emotion that you've been spinning around this week? Is it fear? Is it self-doubt? Is it anger? Is it frustration? Worry? Embarrassment? There's lots of different negative emotions that can take root between our two ears. Just identify one and then put it into this formula. The more, and state your negative desired state of being, your emotional state, the more anxious I am. I'm just going to use anxiety because that's usually one we can all identify with. So the more anxious I feel, the more anxiety I feel in my body. Then you say the second phrase, the more confident I become that God is able to work out an ultimate good far beyond my momentary trouble. I'm just using that as an example. So you link the more I feel this, your undesirable state of being, to the more, and you state your desired state of being. The more anxious I am, the more confident I become that God's got my back. The more anxious I am, the more I up my faith factor. Lord, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. You take care of everything. The more anxious I am, the more I remember that God has never forsaken me or left me. And the more I give that thought more authority than I do the anxiety. You can carry it out as far as you want, or you can keep it as simple as you want. The more anxious I am, the more confident I am, the more confident I become that God is with me and I am victorious in Christ. So that's a little tip that you can use to calm your body. Now, after you've calmed your body, so your spirit can be attentive, and you can do this when you come to your Bible study time with the Lord as well. If you're feeling anxiety in your body, you must address stress where it manifests. You apply the more technique. You do spiritual breathing. Breathe in the Holy Spirit, exhale the negative emotion. You can also do some tapping. You've heard me talk about EFT, using the scriptures along with tapping. Tapping is just simply physically tapping with your fingertips on these points located around your face and around your clavicle area, the top of your head, eyebrow, outside of the eyes, under the nose, under the mouth. You tap on these specific points as you are declaring scriptures. And you first address your negative state of being, whatever that is. Now, if you want a quick class on EFT, if you're not familiar with it, you can go to my main website, laurenemiller.com. That's Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, emiller.com. Simply click on programs and then stress management. And if you scroll down, you'll see two tutorial videos that will talk you through the EFT process. Putting it in the context of scriptures, you can add scriptures to it. The more anxious I feel, the more confident I become that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This will make more sense after you've watched the tutorials as you're tapping the different points on your face. So you have a couple of tools from today's podcast. One, the more technique, the more anxious I am, the more confident I become that God is with me. And he's already overcome all that I feel that has overcome me. You've got spiritual breathing. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Exhale any anxiety or fear or doubt or worry. And then you can explore the emotional freedom technique. And you can do that by going to my website, laurenemiller.com, click on the programs tab, stress management, and watch those two tutorials. Now that we've calmed the body a bit, let's jump into the Holy Scriptures to up our spiritual game, to give our spirit permission to guide our flesh, as St. Augustine says. So in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, thank you that we have tools. Even though we didn't get a manual when we came out of the chute that says, this is the best way to work this earth suit you've blessed us with, this temple you've blessed us with, where you reside within us. Thank you that we can learn new tools to be able to calm the stress in our body, so that our spirits can be attentive to your voice. What do you want to say to us today? Help us to be alert. Help us to be curious. Holy Spirit, what is for me? As you gather the people to this call today, put upon their heart the scriptures that perhaps you want them to allow to have more authority than any negative emotion in their lives. It is for freedom that you have set us free. We come as we are today, Lord. Thank you that you came to seek and save the lost, those who are scared, those who are in darkness, who feel as if there is no hope or way out. Thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd and you love us so much that you pursue us constantly to free us from the shiny objects of the world. Have your way with us, Lord, more today than yesterday. And help us to be attentive as we lean into what you said when you walk this earth. Remind our mind that you are in charge and there's nothing to fear. In your most blessed name we pray, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The learning objective from today's podcast, the title is, What Does Jesus Say? What does Jesus say? What did he say? The learning objective at the end of today's podcast is that you will walk away with 18 lessons to live by based on what Jesus says. If you have a pen and paper, pull it out because you're going to get 18 lessons. And you're looking for the top three. In adult education, it's proven that the human mind can only be attentive for a certain amount of time. So that's why I will encourage you with these podcasts to think of one to three things, pieces of information that you feel will help you thrive and survive in your relationship with Christ and in this world as you're walking through Earth School, that you want to apply, that you want to take and transfer into your behavior. That's our goal. You learn something today, and then you take it and choose a behavior that you want to start practicing on a day-to-day basis to be able to transfer that new learning into boots on the ground behavior and life experience. First verse that we're jumping in today is found in Luke chapter 4, verse 8. This is the scene where Jesus is confronted by Satan. And as I've mentioned before in other podcasts, who better to follow than Jesus Christ of Nazareth and his lead on how to defeat Satan? In one of his rebukes, quoting scripture, we know that Jesus used scripture every time Satan tried to tempt him with power, possessions, passion, popularity, all those fun little shiny objects and trinkets. Jesus responded and rebuked the devil again and again with the same methodology, with Holy Scripture. Luke 4:8 is a particularly powerful Holy Scripture that he used to defeat Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, there's an important lesson that comes from this. And I will be going over the 18 lessons at the end, summing them up. I'll just briefly talk about them as we read through some of these scriptures today. I will go over all 18 lessons at the end of this podcast, so stick with us. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. My coaching question for you today is, what are you serving other than God? What do I mean by that? Where are you spending your time and attention throughout the day? Is there any particular behavior that you're giving more time and attention than you are to the awareness of the presence of God in your life? Once you're aware of that, then you can be the driver of it. It won't be the boss of you. You can be the driver of that, and you can limit your time focusing on that particular thing that you're becoming, that's become an idol, right? That's something other than God, something concrete that you're spending more time on or with other than the presence of God within you. I'll give you a couple hints. Your phone. What? Yeah, your phone, your iPhone, social media, the opinions of other people, your political positions, your possessions, your fears, your self-doubts, your anxieties. First lesson, serve God alone. Put him first and do your behaviors back that belief up. I serve God. Can you say, I serve God above anything else in my life? How do you know that? What are the behaviors or the evidence that demands that verdict? Second group of scriptures, Luke 5:4. Now, this is to Simon Peter. This lesson from what Jesus says, right? Jesus says to Simon Peter, hey, Peter, put your nets out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Peter's response, pushback. At first, it's stubborn. Lord, are you kidding me? We've been working all night. There's no way I want to do this. Key pivotal word in this scripture, Luke 5, 4 through 9. But because you say so, I will let down my nets. Let's follow his lead on this. Because Jesus says so. This, we got to make a t-shirt, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because Jesus says so, I will do this. Jesus then, because Peter was obedient, right? Obedience leads to your purpose being fulfilled every time. Just because you feel like doing something doesn't mean you should. Just because you feel like saying something doesn't mean you should. So Peter didn't feel like putting his nets out. What don't you feel like doing today that Jesus is asking you to do? What comes up in your mind? What is your pushback? What is Jesus asking you to do today? And you don't want to do it. Perhaps it'll be another one of the lessons we'll talk about, loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, putting faith above fear. Jesus said to Peter, as a result of his obedience, he declares his mission. Don't be afraid, Simon. Don't be afraid. You can put your name in there. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishermen of men. Don't fear. From now on, you will be fishermen of men. We are not our own ambassadors here. We are Christ's ambassadors. He's making his appeal through us. Things get messy. We lose our peace when we think we're our own ambassadors. We need to declare our own positionalities. When people challenge our own positionalities, we will fight. We will ugly talk. We will stonewall. We will have defensive behavior. And we are no better off than anybody in the world that has no faith. And Jesus has mentioned that several times. So, second lesson, because Jesus says so. I don't feel like loving my enemy, but because you say so, Jesus. So what would you fill that in today? How would you fill that in? I don't feel like what? But because you say so, Lord, I will do it. We move on to the man with leprosy. Jesus speaks to the man of leprosy further on in Luke chapter 5, and he meets this man with leprosy, and he's very compassionate, right? Very altruistic, which that's the nature of Jesus. We're called to be the same and follow his lead. He says to Jesus, the man with leprosy, if you're willing to heal me, are you willing, Lord, to heal me? Perhaps you're wondering that today. Perhaps there's a thought form that's been taking up free rent between your 2 ears that's tormenting you. If you're willing, use the words of the man who was experiencing leprosy. If you're willing, Lord, free me from this. I'm in torment. Jesus' response, this is what Jesus says. This is another thing Jesus says we must remember, that's important to remember for our own inner freedom. Jesus is always willing to meet us where we're at. Always willing. Any other thought that speaks against that is a lie. You go through all four Gospels, Jesus was always willing to meet people where they were at. And he's willing to meet you where you are at today. Where are you at? If you are willing, Lord, meet me here. Free me from this. What is this for you today? Jesus is willing. That's what he says. He is willing. Be clean. Jesus is always willing. Verse 24 through 31, or 27 through 31, we go on in chapter 5, Luke. Jesus runs into Levi. He's a tax collector. He's considered a sinner. He's robbing from people, stealing. John 10:10 says, the devil kills, steals, and destroys. Levi was a part of that. He was stealing and destroying some people's lives because he would take what was not his to take, even from those people that didn't even have it to give. And Jesus goes right after him, follow me. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call those who don't need or think they need to be healed. I have come to call sinners to repentance. Have you ever seen the movie Dumb and Dumber? I didn't laugh through the whole thing. Some of it goes a little bit overboard for me. But one of the scenes that really got me was when he had that crush on this beautiful woman, Jim Carrey. And she said, I wouldn't date you in one in a million chances. And he just has this kind of stupid grin on his face. And he goes, so you're saying I have a chance? So this is the verse for all of us to really lean into. So Lord, you're saying I have a chance, because he hasn't come to get those who don't feel like they need to be healed. We've got to be very careful of pride and self-righteousness. That will block the grace and faith, favor of God in our lives. He's come to get the sinners. and get them to repentance. I'm here today because of this truth. He came and he got me. He keeps coming to get me. Again and again, do you allow him to rescue you? Jesus says, follow me. That's what he says. Are you following him through your trial, through your storm? Who are you following? Are you following a man, a person, a situation? Are you following an institution? Who are you following? Who are you looking to for your hope? God is our hope. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is hope. It's a person. It's not a thing. It's not an institution. It's not an outcome in life. It's a person. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is our hope. Have you been hijacked? Is your hope hijacked to somewhere else? Bring it on back. Follow me. That's what Jesus says. Chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, 1 through 11. We encounter a man with a withered hand, right? All of the onlookers, tons of people just standing around watching this scene. What's Jesus going to do? What's he going to do? This man has a withered hand. So my coaching question for you is, what is withered in your life? Is it your faith? You know that something's withered because you have a negative emotion that's rising up. So with that negative emotion, just ask yourself that coaching question. What is withered in my life that is causing me to be disconnected from the power of God within me? So this man had a withered hand, a physically withered hand. Jesus, ignoring all the judgments around him, which he was surrounded by tons of judgment and persecution constantly, he says to this man, get up and stand in front of everyone. Stretch out your hand. Get up. Stretch out your hand. And it was fully and completely restored. It wasn't partially restored. It was fully and completely restored. The lesson from this scripture of listening to Jesus' voice to you, stand up in front of everyone. Declare your faith. Jesus invites us to stand up in front of everyone and show the mighty work of God in our life, to declare the mighty work of God in our lives. Even if you don't get your desired outcome, are you still joyful? Are you singing his praises? David was huge on this through the Psalms. As a result of that, this man was, he did stand up. He didn't cower. He knew that there was a ton of judgment going on. He didn't know what was going to happen to him because he knew that there was a strain of thought going out there that don't be following this Jesus guy. But he stood up and he was fully and completely restored. His withered hand was restored. Jesus says that he will fully and completely restore you. So what is it that is withered in your life today? Then we move to chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. Blessed are you when men hate you, insult you, exclude you, reject your name as evil because of me. That's a lot. Are you insulted? Do you feel excluded? Are you rejected? Are you afraid of being insulted, excluded, rejected? Believe me, I've had all of these fears as a follower of Christ. You're not alone. What do we do with those? Those are strong situations, exterior situations. How do you want to handle that? Set your mind before you get into that situation so it doesn't set you. Jesus says, all of these things, when men hate you, insult you, exclude you, reject you, and reject you and call your name as evil because of me, the Son of Man, rejoice in that day, Jesus says. So we can go back to Peter's response. Because you say so, Lord, I will rejoice and leap for joy when I am insulted, excluded, and rejected because of your name. Because this is a key piece in Luke chapter 10 or Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. Because what's the ramification of standing firm in Christ? a great reward in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to go for that great reward in heaven. Sometimes the world screams and God whispers, it's hard to remember that. Let's go for that great reward in heaven. Jesus says, when you stand firm, when people hate you, insult you, exclude you, and reject you. I heard somebody say the other day, I'm really glad that I'm being rejected, excluded, and I'm insulted, because it means that it's clear that I'm standing for Christ. Where do you stand on that? Get very clear. Armor up. Get ready. Set your mind. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to stand firm and to be able to rejoice when I am insulted, excluded, and rejected, because it's just a matter of time. In her school, help me to stand firm to the end and go for that reward in heaven. Run for that ultimate prize, as Paul says. So then we move on to loving your enemies. Ooh, this is a hot topic. When I was in journalism school, they say, is this newsworthy? And is this timely? This is timely, and this is newsworthy. Love your enemies. Jesus says, so you can apply what Peter said. I don't want to do that. No way I want to love my enemies. Are you kidding me? But because you say so, Lord, I will do good to those who hate me. I will bless those who curse me. I will pray for those who mistreat me. I will give to everyone who asks. If anyone takes what is mine, I won't demand it back. I will do to others what I would have them do to me. I will love those people that don't love me, because if I don't, then what good am I? Even sinners love those who love them. I don't want to be like that. And if I love just to expect repayment from people, right? Sometimes through manipulation, ooh, I'll love you so you'll give me something. What credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Jesus says, but love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. He is merciful. Be merciful. Jesus says, be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. What does being merciful mean? That means you show love even when it's not deserved. You show kindness even when it's not deserved. Then he moves on to, and I'm in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 37. He says, don't judge. So while we're on this topic of loving your enemies, let's go a little bit deeper here. Jesus is always going a little bit deeper because he's after your soul. He's after souls, my brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not after the trinkets and shiny objects of the world. Jesus is after souls. Are you? Let's follow his lead. Jesus says, don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, you won't be condemned. Forgiven, you will be forgiven. Given, it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. My coaching question for you, what measure are you using these days? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother or sister, hey, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First, take the plank out of your eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So I'm going to pause for a moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our hearts right now in this moment to reveal to us the plank in our eye. What does that plank look like, feel like, and sound like? Because we want to see clearly. We want that reward in heaven. Show us the plank. Jesus says that if we put his words into practice, loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, not judging, removing the plank from our own eye, In verse 49, he says, when you put these words into practice, this is what it's going to be like for you. You're going to build a house on a ground with a solid foundation. So when the storm comes and blows against this house, it will not collapse. That's you. That's me. When you listen to what Jesus says, which is the topic of today's podcast, you can build your house, your sense of identity, your worth, your value. It doesn't matter what other people say or do. You will remain intact. You will not crumble within. This is powerful stuff. What's the lesson for you in the area of judging and loving your enemies and not judging? Jesus says, love your enemies. Jesus says, do not judge. Jesus says, to forgive. And those who forgive much, been forgiven much, will love much. That's what we learn in chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, there's a woman that's caught in sin, crazy sin. She comes into the house of Simon Peter, and she's crying and weeps and wipes Jesus' feet with her tears, with her hair, and using her tears. And Jesus notices this profound act of humility. True greatness walks through the archway of humility and love. That's how our Savior walked, lived, loved, died, and was resurrected, through humility and love. Therefore, Jesus said, after this woman came in, and Simon, he could tell that Simon was having a little hard time with this. Perhaps you're having a little hard time with something today. That there's somebody out there that has done something that is unjust in your eyes, that is unkind, unloving. Either way, you're quick to judge, and you're holding this person to the fire in your mind. Jesus sees right through that, just as he did Simon. And that's why he said to Simon, when he saw Simon's judgment rising up, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown such great love. Whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And Jesus turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus says to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests start pushing back. How can he forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. He doesn't even acknowledge it. That's noise. Are you acknowledging the noise? Focus on what Jesus said. He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's another lesson. That faith heals us. It sets us free. It brings us back to peace. My brothers and sisters in Christ, is your peace rocked today? Has it been hijacked by something outside of you? Come back to the lover of your soul. This is an indication of a faith crisis. Whenever your peace leaves your interior world, it's a faith crisis. Up your faith. Jesus says again and again throughout the scriptures, I didn't even write all the different times, but he continually says, go, your faith has saved you. Go in peace now. Your faith leads to peace. Faith leads to wellness. Your faith has healed you. Faith is a key factor. By faith, by faith, by faith. Holy Spirit, up our faith factor today so that we know that you are ultimately in charge. And therefore, our peace can be profound. Then we move to Luke 8. This is the woman who'd been bleeding for 18 years, came trembling at his feet because he called her out. Someone touched me. I know power left me. And when she came to Jesus, Jesus said, hey, daughter, your faith has healed you. She had such faith that if she said, if I can only touch his robe, I will be healed. What is it that you want to be healed from today, emotionally speaking, physically speaking, spiritually speaking? Go for the robe of Christ. Whatever you need to do, whatever you need to prune out of your life in order to go for the robe of Christ, because that is your healing. That kind of pursuit and ruthless determination. Jesus, I'm not going to leave until I have your blessing and my faith is restored. I'm going to sit right here until my faith is restored. Go in peace, daughter, go in peace. So then we move to Luke 9. The lesson there, by the way, in Luke 8, faith heals. It heals you. It makes you well. It gives you peace. Then we move to Luke 9. And this is the famous, hey, these people are starving. They have 5,000 people. So that's just men. It's not even counting the women and other people. They need to eat. They go to Jesus with the problem, right? What does Jesus do? He sends them back to themselves, like any good coach would, right? What do you want to do about this? You give them something to eat. Jesus puts it back on them. They're looking around. Are you kidding me? All we have here, this little boy has his 2 fish and 5 loaves. How the heck are we going to feed all these people? So the lesson there that Jesus was trying to get across, what he was saying, you give them something to eat. Meaning bring what you have to God and watch him multiply it. So what do you have today that you can bring to God to multiply? Perhaps it's 2 fish of faith. Perhaps it's 4 loaves of willingness to trust God more today than yesterday. Bring it to Jesus to multiply it. He promises to multiply it, and he will multiply it. So then we move on to, so the lesson there is bring what you have to Jesus. He asks us, he says, hey, bring what you have, and he'll multiply it. Then we have an interesting situation that I feel is very newsworthy and timely, and that's the Samaritan opposition, found in Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. And I'll post these at edgegodin.com. As with all of the podcasts, I will post these scriptures for you to take before the Lord and really take a deep dive into what does Jesus say and the lessons that come from that. So this one is a powerful one. So Jesus is heading out for Jerusalem, and he sent the messengers on ahead of him who went into Samaritan, right? The Samaritan village to get ready for him. But key pivotal point here, but the people there did not welcome him, okay? Because he was heading for Jerusalem. So this is judgment. This is big talk about censorship. This is censorship, right? This is censorship because of where Jesus was going, right? So he was going to Jerusalem. No way, we don't want you here because you're going to Jerusalem. So when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy these people? Anybody relate? Perhaps you have had that little serpent thought take up rent between your 2 ears. Call down fire from heaven and destroy these people. Jesus turned and rebuked them. Lesson for this one is profound and requires and invites our attentiveness. That Jesus Christ of Nazareth is against vengeance. He is against taking revenge. He rebukes revenge. He rebukes vengeful thoughts and desires. We are told, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and this one shakes me in my boots, that we will be held accountable for every thoughtless word spoken. Perhaps you need to hit your knees. Have you spoken a thoughtless word? A word that is really wanting to bring fire down from heaven to destroy certain people. Jesus promises forgiveness. That's another thing that he says. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And as we see him modeling again and again, he was all about forgiving people's sins and inviting them to pick up their mat and start again. Begin again, begin again, begin again. What is that for you today? Perhaps this is your 1 to 3 things that you're really going to bring before the Lord. Lord, I'm guilty of this. I want you to call down fire on these people and destroy them. Hear his rebuke. And we're told that God disciplines those he loves. Allow his discipline to cleanse you from that thought that produces death. not life. We're called to be a city set on a hill, a light that's shining love, forgiveness, redemption. Remember, Jesus is going for souls. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come on now. Go for the souls. God is not impatient, but he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. So, another warning that we see in Luke chapter 13, there's a crowd of many thousands gathered and they were trampling on one another. And Jesus was giving them a very powerful lesson here that I was moved to include in today's podcast, because I remember feeling this fear that I'm going to talk about when I was going through advanced cancer. And it kept me up at night. And so perhaps this is a fear that you might have today. Jesus says, I tell you, my friends, in verse 4, Luke 13, verse 4, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. So you can make this, you can apply this to anything. Do not be afraid of those who what? What are you afraid of that someone else might do? And can do no more than that. So you can bring this home, because in coaching, when you can make the complex simple and applicable and sustainable, then you're going to see a life change happen. So bring this verse home, verse 4. Do not be afraid of those who what? What are you afraid of out there? That they can do that and no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, or after this has happened or that has happened, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Jesus says you're not forgotten by God. Even if you feel that way today, Jesus says you are not forgotten by God. If you feel that you are, then that's a worthy prayer and one that God will answer, because Jesus is willing, always willing. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are worth many, much more than sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. Whoa. That's a wake-up call. Are you denying the power of God in your life by giving into dread, by giving into fear, by giving into anxiety? You're denying the power of God to bring about a greater good than had none of this happened, or had none of whatever you're going through in your life happened. I remember saying that when I was going through advanced cancer and divorce. God, I'm willing to believe that you will bring about a greater good than had this not even happened. And I can assure you today, over 10 years later, that he has restored my life. He has restored me in an incredibly powerful, God-centered marriage. He has restored and protected my children. He has restored my relationship, continued to keep that strong with my former spouse. God is in the business of the restoration business, if you allow him to do so. So come to him today. Acknowledge him before anybody. Anybody that you have the opportunity to speak it in front of, whoever disowns me before others, I will be disowned. One of my prayers these days, by the way, is, dear God, help me to acknowledge you to the last breath I take on earth. Even if a gun was held to my head, even at the end, give me the grace now for what I'd need to stand firm and declare you as holy and you as my Lord and Savior. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, that's another podcast. The key point to this, the key lesson to this, is Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not fear anything out there. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am with you. He also says, do not fear about it publicly acknowledging that you follow me. Go for the acknowledgement before the angels of God. I don't even have to explain why. That's the bigger game, my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's an easy one. So Jesus said, whoever has been given much more, much, much more will be given. That's another lesson as well, that those who have been given much and forgiven much, they will love much. That's something to remember too. So bring all of your little hidden dark shadows to him today. And that brings us to conclusion of today's podcast. Now, as I promised, I'm going to read through the 18 lessons to live by based on what Jesus says. Lesson number one, serve God alone, not your phone, not your social media, and not your opinions of others, your political positions, or your possessions. Serve God alone. Ask him to show you the way with that. Number two, because Jesus says so, follow Peter's lead on this. I don't feel like it, but what don't you feel like doing today? Jesus says so. What is he asking you to do today based on what we've learned? Even if you don't feel like it, but because you said so. That's the second lesson. Third one, Jesus is willing to respond to requests. I am willing, he said to the man with the withered hand. Number four, no, Jesus is all about sinners. Going for those sinners and going for that repentance. Jesus loves sinners. I'm a walking example of that. Perhaps you are as well. So stay humble, cling to Christ. Jesus says he loves sinners, right? He's all about those sinners and repentance. So come to him with boldness on your repentance. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to show me anything that I've done today or said that is against your perfect will for me or does not make you recognizable. And then just sit. It's amazing what starts to just drift in the mind. Jesus invites us to stand up, just as he did with the man with the withered hand. Stand up in front of everyone. Jesus says, stand up. Do not fear. I am with you. Number six, Jesus says you are blessed when you're persecuted because of him, insulted, rebuked, all of that. You're blessed. Great is your reward in heaven. Jesus says that. Claim it. Number seven, Jesus says, love your enemies. Perhaps that's your but statement. Even though I don't feel like it, but because you say so, I'm going to do it with your strength. So help me, Lord. I need to borrow your love because I got none. I've got nothing. Ask Jesus to give it to you because it will set you free. Love your enemies. Number eight, Jesus says not to judge. So stop judging and forgive. Why? Jesus says so. Jesus says in number nine, Jesus says those who have been forgiven much, love much. Have you been forgiven a lot? If you're not sure if you've been forgiven, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you've been forgiven from when you ask forgiveness. Reveal my sins to me, Lord, so I can remember the depth from which I've been saved. That produces humility, and God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Number 10, Jesus says our faith heals us and makes us well. Believe it. Claim it. I'm a walking example of claiming that every single day, even though the doctor said I only had 5 years back in 2006. Own it, claim it, stand in it. Jesus says our faith heals us. If you're not experiencing peace, it's a faith crisis. Ask for help. Jesus says faith is connected to peace. Up your faith factor. Jesus says and asks us to bring what we have to him. So bring what you got. Even if it's only, sometimes I only bring him like a crumb of faith. It's all I have, Jesus, but I know you're in the business of multiplying phenomenally. So I toss this into your lap. Number 12, Jesus says that if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. This is another thing. Those who want to save their life will lose it. He also says, take up your cross and follow me. Whoever gains the whole world, do you want to gain the whole world and lose your soul? I say no. What do you say? Jesus says in the scriptures that if you want to save your life, you've got to lose it. What does that mean? Let go of you. What you think things should be like. Your fears, your need to know how things will turn out. You're wondering why things happen as they do. Let it go. And trust God. Take up your cross and follow him. Jesus says. Why? Because Jesus says. Lesson 13. Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me, he'll be ashamed of you. That's an easy one. Lesson 14. Jesus says, don't take revenge. Don't even want to take revenge. Don't even think about taking revenge. He rebukes that. Lesson 15, Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. Fear God, who has the power to throw you into hell. That's who you should fear. Fear God more than anything you're seeing outside of you right now, so peace can return, and your as well as your confidence. Jesus also says, lesson 16, don't worry about how you're going to defend yourself, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. That's another thing Jesus says in the scriptures. Don't worry about how you're going to defend yourself. Don't catastrophize, mind read, fortune tell. Be here now. God is with you. You are safe. Don't worry about how you will defend yourself with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. So if you have anything coming up and you're afraid of what you might say or should say, ask the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit permission to say what he wants to say. Jesus also says to love your enemy. That's lesson 17. Again, love your enemy. Do not judge. That deserves to be in there twice, by the way. Lesson 18. Jesus says whoever has been forgiven much loves much. So ask the Lord to reveal to you what he has forgiven you from. And think about that, not just from a place of shame and guilt because he sets you free, but simply think on the depth from which you've been saved so that you stay humble. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So that concludes 18 lessons to live by based on what Jesus says. Have fun with those. Go back and listen to this again. Find your three lessons that you want to take and transfer into your behavior. May God's grace be profound in your life. May your awareness of how loved you are, just as you are, right where you're at, by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be revealed to your mind so that you can have faith to trust in him with everything. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to have your way with us as we move forward. Help us to remember what Jesus says and to apply those words now in real time, boots on the ground, so that we can experience that peace that passes all human understanding and that our sleep would be sweet because we know who's ultimately in charge here. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So give them heaven out there. Visit us at edgegodin.com. If you've been inspired by today's podcast, please share this with someone that you feel would be uplifted by the messages contained in today's podcast. You can go to edgegodin.com. There's also a one sheet that helps you to capture the learnings of each podcast as well and some other helpful resources there. Enjoy your gift of life and remember who's ultimately in charge here. God bless you.